It's time to start promoting a cause. Welcome to Promoting a Cause, the podcast, episode 1. I'm your host, Daryl Osborne. Each week I'm going to bring you a different interview from the nonprofit sector in Nova Scotia and share with you what these individuals are doing to further their causes across the province, country, and even around the world. If you have any feedback for me, you can certainly share that at contactdmo on Twitter or contactdmo@gmail.com. You can also visit my website to find out more about me or hear any future episodes of Promoting a Cause. That website is contactdmo.wordpress.com. Now for this week's guest, Paul Tingley, the Parasport Coordinator here in Nova Scotia. He is an accomplished Paralympian himself, having taken home a gold medal from Sydney, Australia in the 2000 Paralympic Summer Games in sailing. But now he spends his days promoting Parasport in Nova Scotia at the grassroots all the way up to that elite level of Paralympic participation. And he does it because he honestly believes the best thing for people with physical disabilities to do is be involved in sport. Those benefits are so diverse, and we get into all that and more in the conversation I had with Paul Tingley here on Promoting a Cause.
Currently in Nova Scotia, there are, I believe, 19 listed parasports.
By 19, sometimes it's 17, sometimes it's 21. There's an ebb and flow depending on program leaders. If so many of these programs are dependent upon one or two leaders, and if they go away or if they're busy, something else in their life, these programs can suffer. So anyway, we're always updating the list, and we try to get it as high as possible. So out of these programs, I think it's good that they're there, and we're very appreciative, but we'd obviously like to see more people participating. We think there's a lot of opportunity for growth, and there's a lot of different reasons as to why, but we're always looking to improve, because having a healthy, active lifestyle is just going to improve your quality of life. And it's something that I think a lot of people with a disability might not even really consider that as a priority, is getting out and being active.
And why do you think that is?
There's a lot of different possibilities, I guess. I think awareness is really one of them. So people just don't know that... They don't know about these new opportunities that are coming up. So that's the first thing. If you're not aware, you're not going to go out. But then some people are still aware, and maybe they haven't had a healthy, active lifestyles before. Children with disabilities, I guess it's more of the parent that's going to decide if their child is going to get involved or not, because they're the ones driving. So I think for the parent, they might be a little cautious of their child, putting them in a program, and the risk of maybe the program's not going to address the needs of the child properly. So it's kind of a fear of the unknown. And of course, if they're not going to be partaking in physical activity as a child, it's less likely that they will later in life. So for us, it's very important to get the children with disabilities involved.
Would you say then that is where the majority of the Parasport Nova Scotia focus is?
No, it's all over the place. So it's all ages, all sorts of disabilities, so all types of sports, high-level grassroots, everything really. But I would say if I had like my last dollar to spend on anything, I would put it on children with disabilities, getting them involved, because they're our future, and if we can kind of break this history of not participating, if we can start with the youth, that would be great, because that would be a real change for the future.
What ones would you say are annually available and consistently there? you know, the core sports, if you want.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, like, we've had, like, say, the equestrian, the therapeutic riding. We have several across the province, and that's probably our oldest adaptive sport in the province. So that's always a mainstay, and they're usually booked up because it's such a quality experience to kind of bond with a horse, and it's a really special experience. The alpine ski is always available on the Three Hills in Nova Scotia, and that's run through a national organization, so it's well organized, but we're a little short on volunteers right now, so opportunities are few and far between. We'd like to see more volunteers, of course, in that. But I'd say the bigger ones is realtor basketball and sledge hockey. Those are probably the two of the biggest in terms of numbers. And then also the para-athletics is another sport where we have a fortunate to have a great coach who's nationally recognized and has got all the certifications, and he's able to provide a really safe and quality environment. And when we have leaders providing this kind of quality program, that's when people will start to continually come out to these programs, tell their friends, and we see growth over time.
Parasport overall is something that has gone through quite an evolution. It at one time was very disability focused or very specific to a sport, and it's become more of a general movement. How do you feel that that has changed the outlook for parasport?
Yeah, I really think inclusion is the way forward. So maybe in the past we've had groups where you had to have that similar disability to be included in that group. But really what that does is makes it very challenging to find the minimum amount of participants so that you can enjoy the sport. So we really have opened it up for all abilities, and so we have a lot of able-bodied people coming out. And that way, for example, say basketball, if you weren't, you can play a game because now we can fill all the chairs, and it's a lot more fun when you're playing a full game. That's the reason you go out. So, and we're always promoting inclusion also in rural areas where it's really a challenge to get a group of disabled individuals together because there's so many barriers with transportation and costs and equipment. Having the able-bodied people there to fill in those gaps is also good for the able-bodied because they're learning more about sports and they kind of get to see it from a different point of view. And for the people with disabilities, then they're able to play, and it's just a richer, more quality experience.
What's the biggest change that you've seen in parasport in your time in the role as the coordinator?
So what I've really done is tried to get a presence on like social media, just try to get the awareness out there. So I've got a couple of social media sites set up, and I see that growth, and now we're in about 400, and people are sharing and liking, and I'd like to think that that's the best way to grow awareness. That's a cost-effective way, and hopefully that's going to spread, and then people will find out about these opportunities, and then they'll start participating more. So I would say in the 2 years, just the growth of people on the social media.
Go ahead and give a shameless plug to all your social media platforms right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that. It's Parasport NS. That is the Facebook and Twitter page. And actually, Sport Nova Scotia is going to be coming out with a new parasportns.com webpage. And we have one right now, but this one's going to be a little bit more supported by a larger team and a little more sophisticated and more up-to-date. So we're hoping that that will also be another tool to promote the awareness of parasport.
Do you have any sort of blanket sessions?
Right now we're doing something, and it's a lot less organized, if you will. It's really 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Sunday nights at Canada Game Center. We're just getting together and trying different sports. And we're trying to let people know that this is really just kind of a taste. It's not, you're not coming for the full quality experience. So we have to temper expectations here a little, but people are responding and coming out because the friends are there. We're providing something. So for example, we're doing sitting volleyball right now. We're going to do karate coming up. We're going to do paracycling. We've got a woman who used to work in the circus and now has something called the Flying Project, where you get on a bungee and you can do this workout, kind of spinning around in the air. So it's kind of very interesting because we're taking suggestions from all the participants about what they want to do and going out and trying to find a community leader that would give the session.
What kind of support is available in terms of getting the equipment to participate?
So Parasport is part of Sport Nova Scotia. So Parasport itself doesn't have any funds, but we have provincial sport organization projects where they can apply to perhaps, say, start a program. So, for example, Powertest Soccer is starting up in April, and Soccer Nova Scotia applied and got a grant, and they helped get money to buy equipment and help with facilities, train coaches. And so that's more of the provincial sport organization doing that. But if you had a club that was applying for funds, they would go to what's called the sport fund. And we split the province up into six regions, and each region has a sport consultant. So the program in that region would talk to that consultant, and they would say, and usually the grants were about $2,000 to $3,000. Doesn't buy a ton of equipment, but it does help from time to time to get that. But really, the quality is coming from talking to a sport consultant who can help you with your club and kind of understand your challenges and be able to maybe connect you with certain people, different facilities, another way to think about solving a problem. So the Sport Fund and the PSO projects are the two big ones that Sport Nova Scotia administers on behalf of support for sports. So that the provincial lottery system gives money back to amateur sport in Nova Scotia.
With all of the different opportunities that exist and sports that you're trying to get a solid footing for, are there any that have really surprised you in terms of their ability to reach a broader audience? Are there any that have really caught on that you even at the head of it all, you're surprised at how popular they've become?
Yeah, two that jumped to mind right away. So one is sledge hockey. So right now, I think across the province, we're in each region, there's different levels, I guess, you could play. You could just borrow equipment, or you can do a learn to sledge. And then there's tier two, which is kind of the youth developing how to play hockey. And then there's the competitive hockey. So that's what we call the pathway. And so in each of the regions, there's some part of the pathway that is represented. So we have about 130 people of all abilities playing. And that seems to be growing because I'm getting more and more requests from school teachers wanting to show their classes, rent sledges, go to the rink and spend an hour to understand the game. We have parents of youth that are looking to get more involved. Hockey Nova Scotia is understanding all this, and they're looking to get two minor hockey associations to deliver these para ice hockey programs. So that really seems to be on the right track, and it's got a lot of momentum. I think a lot of it stems from the last Winter Paralympics, and people have been responding to commercials with people playing sledge hockey. Just the awareness is really growing in that. Now, in the other one I'm thinking about, it's not really big numbers, but we have a gentleman who used to be a very high quality boxer, and now he suffered a back accident, had health problems, and he's no longer participating, but he wants to give back to others, and he's doing para boxing season. Three athletes right now, and I know two more that might be starting up soon too. That I never thought was going to be a thing, but that's just what the demand is saying they want to do.
You didn't come to parasport from the beginning. Can you shed some light on that for people so that they understand you've seen things from both sides of the equation?
Okay. I was, before I had a ski accident at 24 years old, I really was oblivious to anything parasport. I mean, I remember Rich Hansen going around the world, and he came to speak to our class at St. Mary's, and I thought that was really good, but really, I had no idea. So after I had my ski accident, I was in a wheelchair, and I was looking to be active. So that's really when it all started for me, and I started going through all the literature online and talking to people and finding out what I could do, and I tried all the sports, and I was doing wheelchair basketball and skiing, and I was pushing around athletics and swimming. I was like kind of nonstop, and then really when I went sailing one day, I left my wheelchair at the dock and went out for sail around McNabb's Island, and that day changed my life, and I became addicted to sailing, and I just loved the feeling of leaving the dock and spending the day on the water, and that took me around the world, and I've done 18 years with the Canadian sailing team and got to race on many continents and many Paralympics, and I've had a very fortunate ride.
It's amazing that sport could be such a positive thing in your life, even when sport is what caused the change in your life. And I wonder if you had to take any amount of time to come to grips with that, or were you just such a sports guy that, okay, well, I got to stay involved in sport?
After my ski accident, its first few months, not thinking about sports, but you come to accept your situation, you just kind of accept things for the way they are, and definitely nothing to be gained by holding a grudge against sports and being active. I mean, that's how I want to live. It never, there was a question after that, after I kind of came around to accepting what had happened to me, that I would continue on and being active, and that was the way I wanted to live my life. So nothing has really changed, except when I go skiing now, I don't really go on jumps, and I'm not as disabled as others. Like, I mean, there's different levels of disability, if you will, so I don't pretend to know all those, but I do try to understand before I try to consult and direct people into the right sports, what might be right for them. I think a lot of it, though, in my job and talking to people, is that they don't see themselves as being active, and that for me, I can't tell people what to do or anything. I just kind of, if anything, try to lead by example and be an active person, and people can see that, yeah, maybe it might be okay for me too as well.
How important do you think it is to balance the Paralympic schedule?
Because actually the Canada Winter Games does that, right? Our Canada Games Council has spread the summer and the winter games, so it's not so like lopsided as you described. So, and I remember like in the Winter Paralympic, it was only like four sports. So now we've got, they added wheelchair curling. So now it's five, whereas summer, I'm not sure how many it would be, but.
What is the next big move you would like to see happen for parasport in Nova Scotia? What's the next phase of development for parasport here?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can move forward with. So right now it's kind of getting the provincial sport organizations to kind of run those parasport programs is really the crux of the whole parasport success. So we've recently come out with Sport Nova Scotia and the province and the Canadian Sports Centre Atlantic have developed a new tool for sport organizations to fill out. And it's based on these four pillars of participation, coaching and officiating, organizational effectiveness, and excellence. So So when they fill all that out, there's a part of the participation where it's underrepresented groups, and parasport is one of those underrepresented groups. So now we are starting to collect like how they self-evaluate the way that they're delivering these parasport programs. And then we're going to look at that with and talk with consultants about how can we do better? How can we move your score from, say, a 2 out of 4 to a 3 out of 4? And then when we start doing that, we collect the stakeholders, we collect consultants, we talk about funding, equipment, all these things. And if we have a good sound strategy, we can use that organizational effectiveness kind of like a weapon to do good, you know, and we can really kind of move the bar on that. So this sport development tool, it's called, is a way to capture the data. It highlights where we should be moving forward, and then gathering people around and talking about how to do that forward.
How important is it to highlight the successes of individuals from Nova Scotia for marketing purposes?
It's a good question. There's, I think it is part of our community, and it's happening, and we want to highlight the hard work, and we're all proud of the people that go and they represent Nova Scotia or Canada internationally, and they do well, and we all feel pretty proud about that. So for the most part, I think people feel good. But on the flip side of that, if you were a person with a disability and you're thinking about getting active, and all you saw were these pictures of world-class athletes, and it could almost dissuade you from going out because you think it's too far. That'll never be me. If that's what parasport is and that's all what it's all about, that's not me. I'm not going to participate. So you have to balance everything. So what we have really want to do is really highlight the grassroots participation that's is the crux, because if we start highlighting those stories of just going out and participating and having a good time, then the numbers will grow, and then these people that want to go and compete and go around the world and get medals and things like that, that will just organically happen. But there are people that will be inspired by those people as well. So we just balance everything. We're just kind of showing stories of the grassroots, showing the high performance, spotlighting on coaches, facilities, all sorts of things. There's no one thing that seems to work.
That was Parasport Nova Scotia coordinator Paul Tingley. If you want to get involved in parasport here in Nova Scotia, you can do that by visiting parasportns.com or reaching out on Facebook or Twitter at @parasportns. If you have any feedback for me, send it along on Twitter at @contactdmo or by email contactdmo@gmail.com. Thanks for being part of Promoting a Cause.